In December of 1862, the Confederate and Union Army lined up against each other in a town called Fredericksburg. For 4 days they fought, and in the midst of the battle was a Confederate soldier by the name of Sergeant Richard Kirkland. Sergeant Kirkland was raised in the low country of South Carolina, the son of a farmer, not unlike most of the boys who served. During the Battle of Fredericksburg, the Union was taking terrible losses. In the field that lie between the army lines lay hundreds of Union soldiers who were wounded. As shots continued to ring out across the field, no one was able to go and give them aid. And for a day and a night, they lay there, begging for help, pleading for just a drink of water. And yet, no one ventured into the line of fire to help them. Until Sergeant Kirkland came bounding up the steps to ask his general, General Kershaw, permission to go into the field and bring water to those soldiers. Sergeant Kirkland said, "General, I can't stand this. All night and day I have heard these poor people crying for water, and I can stand it no longer. I come to ask permission to go and give them water." With profound anxiety, the general watched as Kirkland stepped over the wall on his errand of mercy. The general would later write, "Unharmed, he reached the nearest sufferer. He knelt beside him, tenderly raised the drooping head, gently resting it on his own noble breast, and poured the precious life-giving fluid down the fever-scorched throat. This done, he laid him tenderly down, placed his knapsack under his head, straightened out his broken limbs, spread his overcoat over him, replaced his empty canteen with a full one, and turned to another sufferer." By this time, his purpose was well understood on both sides, and all danger was over. From all parts of the field arose fresh cries of water, water, for God's sake, water. More piteous still was the mute appeal of some who could only feebly lift a hand to say, "Here, too, is life and suffering." Mercy is a precious commodity in the midst of war. The mercy that Sergeant Kirkland showed to those Union soldiers speaks to the depth of mercy that we don't often witness. But we do get another glimpse of it in our scripture passage from Luke. The centurion is quite a character in this story. He's part of the Roman occupying force in Israel. He's the conqueror in a conquered land. He's there in Capernaum to make sure that the conquered remain that way. And yet, with the piteous cry of his servant, who he shouldn't care about, not really, battle lines are blurred for just a few moments. Under normal circumstances, the centurion should have gotten a couple of soldiers to just go and get Jesus. After all, Jesus had no status, no title, that would have caused the centurion to pause from commanding an audience with this itinerant preacher. But mercy is not commanded. And on some level, the centurion seems to know this. And so he asks the Jewish leaders in the town to go and speak with Jesus on his behalf. When they came to Jesus, the scripture tells us, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." The centurion, due to his prior relationship with the Jews, has demonstrated that he is a man of faith, a philanthropist, a man of good character. And the Jewish leaders do not seem to be surprised that he is willing to go out on a limb for his slave. But these Jewish leaders are just the first envoy that the centurion sends to Jesus. They don't make it across town to the centurion's house before some friends, probably Roman, meet Jesus in the road with a message on behalf of the centurion. "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only to speak the word, and let my servant be healed." There's one thing that sticks in this passage as we try to parse out what it's saying to us, and it's the word worthy. According to the Jewish leaders, this Roman occupier is worthy of having this miracle performed for him. After all, he's shown himself to be a man of faith prior to this incident. But the centurion himself claims to be unworthy just to have Jesus under his roof, much less to have a miracle performed for him. By all measures given to us by this world, financial, military, political, even religious, this centurion was quite worthy of all kinds of things. But what does it mean to be worthy of mercy? In this fight we call life, we tend to draw all sorts of battle lines between ourselves, battle lines that not only give us identity and tend to tell us who our friends are, but also identify those who are deemed as enemies. We draw lines between Democrat and Republican, conservative and liberal, straight and gay, black and white, rich and poor, native and immigrant, just to name a few. I'm sure we could each come up with a list of our own. And sometimes in the heat of battle, all we tend to see is the enemy on the other side of the wall. But maybe the truth is that between the battle lines lies a great field. And in that field are the cries of those desperate souls who are caught between the fighting. On this field, we might find a single parent working 60 hours a week to make ends meet, while the other parent skirts child support. Or a father wondering where home will be now for his family fleeing violence. We might find a child struggling to understand what it means to be a girl or a boy. Or a teenager trying to survive on the streets because his family has cast him out, unacceptable to them. On this field will find those suffering because of their lack of access to affordable health care and dentistry. And while the battle rages on, do we hear their cries for mercy? From all parts of the field arise fresh cries of water, water for God's sake, water. More piteous still, the mute appeal of some who can only feebly lift a hand to say, here too is life and suffering. In the race to defeat the enemy, these cries go unheeded. Collateral damage and the theology of the ends justify the means. Was the centurion worthy of Jesus' help? Well, really, are any of us? Jesus could have been on solid ground to refuse him. After all, in Matthew, when the Canaanite woman asks Jesus to heal her daughter, he replied, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But Jesus does not refuse him. The Jewish rabbi goes out of his way to help one of the very ones who are occupying his land and oppressing his people. Across the field of battle, Jesus wanders to offer water and mercy to those who would do him and his people harm. Sergeant Kirkland risked his own life to offer mercy to those Union soldiers on that December day at Fredericksburg. Our own baptismal covenant calls us to seek and serve Christ in all people and strive for justice and peace among all people. And while it may seem very risky to wander out to help those who are caught in the middle between those battle lines, at least for Sergeant Kirkland, the battle stopped as soldiers on both sides figured out what he was doing. He was out in that field for almost 2 hours. And he raised his head to find no bullets were flying, no cannons being shot off, no grenades being thrown his way. For just a little while on that cold December day, the battle stopped and mercy prevailed. Maybe if God's church spent more time in the field, the battle would not just stop for a little while, but for a long while. More people would come to know the meaning of Christ's mercy. And while no one might claim they deserve it or were worthy of it, Jesus might just stand amazed once again and say, not in Israel have I found such faith. May it be so for God's church. Amen.